And joining us for a few weeks is CrossRoaderClothing.com. Check them out. They're on Facebook as well. Let's get how's it going, dude?
Oh, what's up, Killa? How are you? Let's get my partner, John, in here. Somewhere got hurt. You know what? Speaking of fighters and badass, I'm looking forward to tomorrow to a good friend to Madhouse who we loved having on the show, and that's Jeff the Snowman Munson. Dude, that guy, he's fighting Fedor's brother, Alexander, tomorrow M1 at the Gorham Barnett 2 fight. I'm so looking forward to that fight. I'd like to see Jeff, you know, get in there and take out the older brother or the younger brother of Fedor. I mean, you know, we all know that Fedor broke his leg in the Munson-Fedor fight, but his brother's a lot bigger and a different style fighter, and I would really like to know what he thinks about fighting a – obviously, he doesn't have a problem fighting a fighter that's, you know, Hep C positive.
Yeah, I'm curious to find out. Maybe he's not, bro, because I don't see why Munson would take a fight against him if he has that. Some of these guys,
I'm starting to wonder myself.
They're like little hillbillies from, you know, scattered around Russia. He's like going around there picking up tomato cans at the local grocery store and beating them up. But Munson doesn't fit that typical mold for a guy like Alexander. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. I actually think Alexander will win a decision because it's in Russia. So that's kind of in Jeff's disadvantage. But there is, you know, if Jeff can get him down, dude, he could definitely slap that north-south choke on him and tap him out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think that, you know, for those out there who don't know, you guys should look it up. The guy's one of the best big men in the world on the ground. I mean, inside and outside of MMA, he's always got a solid ground game. You know, he blew through Abu Dhabi when he was a nobody, you know. And I tell you what, I love watching him fight personally. And, you know, there's a lot of great stuff this weekend. That's tomorrow. Tonight, right now, going on is Coliseum Extreme Fights, which I actually have playing on one of the screens. And then, you know, tomorrow, obviously, we have the Gorham Gardner 3, the rubber match and that whole deal. We got Tachi Palace tomorrow night's going to be out there. You got, what, Bellator coming up Friday.
Jungle Fights is tomorrow night.
Jungle Fights,
Tachi Palace, Fight Lab, M1 Challenge. There's a lot of events tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see some early midweek MMA. I'd love to see some more MMA on, you know, Tuesday and Wednesdays and Thursdays. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no, dude, it's a banger of a weekend. Dude, I think it's a good idea for some of these events to go off on Thursday night with the St. Pierre return on Saturday. You know what I mean? A large portion of the MMA community will be tied up in that.
Yeah,
and,
totally agree.
Looks like our first guest is ready. I'm going to bring in this guy, man. This is a real awesome story that you guys are going to get to listen to right now. We've got an undefeated fighter that's going to be joining us named Hansel Aquino. And we're going to let him share his story and how MMA has helped him so far in his life. Hansel, are you with us, brother?
Yeah, what's up, brother?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just right here, just waiting right here. About to spar, like, at 7, so just waiting.
Now, are you in Vegas this week?
Yeah. Right now, I'm right here, right in front of Extreme Couture's gym.
And how's it going? I know that you're splitting time there and in Los Angeles. When are you looking to make the move full-time to Vegas, bro?
I just moved out here 2 weeks ago, so I've been training here full-time and working at Extreme Couture also.
And how's that been going for you so far? Have you noticed a difference in the amount of training or the quality of training you're able to get, the quality?
I've noticed that, like, just my technique-wise and my striking and just, like, my wrestling has just gone off the roof. I mean, training with, like, Martin Kampmann and, you know, UFC guys, and I'm still an amateur, and it's helping a lot in my career to be able to train with guys like that.
I imagine so, man. Having, like, that top level of talent around you, and it seems to me like you're just a sponge to things, and you take them very serious and head on when you decide to accept a challenge, that this should really help propel your career. Now, your first fight was a quick one. Did that excite you, or were you kind of maybe wanting to go a little bit longer? I mean, a 7-second KO is never something to, like, laugh at. I think it's something to be very proud of.
Yeah, I was actually I honestly didn't think it was going to be that quick. I remember I threw the kick and then the hook, and then I was going to shoot and take him to the ground, but everything connected perfect, and it was just all so surreal. I was like, what? It's all over already. It happened so quick, you know? I was ready to go to war for, like, at least 3 rounds or something, you know?
Yeah. Was it the kick that put him down or the hook?
No. It was – I'm a southpaw, so I threw a kick just to kind of distract them and then throw my right hook, following up with the right hook, and everything just went smoothly. He kind of went for that low kick, kind of put his hand down a little bit enough for me to make contact with my fist to his face.
It's always nice when they work with you and they're like, oh, hold on, this is where you need my face? Perfect. Let me line it up for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then, you know, I thought the ref was going to I knew, like, as soon as I hit him with that hook, I was like, oh, he's done for sure, you know? And then I didn't want to – I thought the ref was going to call it off, but I guess he didn't. And then after that, I just landed, like, I want to say, like, 6 more shots, and then the ref called it off.
Man, well, that's definitely a good start to the career, you know, and taking as little damage as you can as an amateur is always the best idea. Unfortunately, though, you did have another fight October 21st at the Nokia, but you ended up not being able to take that. What happened there, bro?
Yeah, I was just sparring and we were kind of going hard, and I got a fracture in the left left nasal in my nose, so doctors didn't clear me to fight. And over there in Cali, the difference between Cali and like Las Vegas, you have to get cleared over there in California in order for you to fight. And then like the doctor saw that, you know, my nose was fractured. Couldn't end up fighting. But I should be fighting again for that promotion in February. So back again at the Nokia Theater.
Oh, that'll be great. And now you grew up in the LA area, right?
Yeah, correct. I grew up in Hollywood.
And so what will it be like for you to get to fight there in front of your home crowd and all your fans and family?
It'll be awesome, man. You know, I fought here in Vegas, and there was a couple of people that came, but, you know, fighting right in my backyard, especially at the Nokia Theater, is such a big event. And it's right across from the Staples Center. So, you know, it's right in my backyard. And to be able to fight in front of my family and all my friends there, it's pretty exciting.
Now, what originally, Hansel, drew you towards MMA, bro? Now, you wrestled in high school. Is that kind of, you saw this as an avenue to be able to continue to compete, or did you just like
the
scrap?
The thing about me is that when I was little, I would always get into fights. You know, in school, I would always fight, and I always had that, you know, that, because I've been wrestling since a young age, too, and after high school, you know, right after I was 18 at the time, right after I was graduated high school, that's when I went into MMA. I wanted to fight, but still wrestle, you know? So that's how I transitioned. I would always watch UFC, and right after high school, that's when I wanted to pursue an MMA career.
Now, how was your mom in that process? Was she stoked about it, or was she like, no, we don't need to be fighting for a career, Hansel, use your brain?
I mean, my mom has been like the biggest supporter in my life. She, you know, I've been raised just by my mom, you know, and I'm really attached to her. So she's really supportive. I mean, you know, some moms will be like, no, I don't want you to fight. You know, I can't see you get hit. But she's been there with me, you know, since day one. So she really supports my dreams.
This is Skippy. Hey, how you doing tonight, brother? I got to ask you, you know, Caitlin interviewed you, and reading your article, for all the fans out there, you can find a wonderful article on him on madhouse.com. I got to ask you, how mentally tough was it going through all that, you know, the whole treatment from beginning to end? Did it build you up mentally, or, you know, by the time it was done, or did you leave there the same way you came in mentally?
Yeah, like I tell people, you know, it may sound crazy, but I'm so grateful that, you know, the whole cancer thing happened to me. It changed my life for the better, and it made me really mentally tough. And it made me stronger. It made me wiser. You know, at such a young age, too, I was 18 at the time, and I'm 21 now. But I've just been dealing with it, and I'm grateful that it happened to me. It changed me for the better. It made me a better fighter. It made me appreciate life more, and I'm grateful it happened.
So with you, obviously, like Lopaki had pointed out, winning that fight in pretty much a devastating fashion, I was actually watching it just now, and, man, you finished up with about 12 punches. Just that ref could have stopped it a little sooner, man. But, you know, when you have a fight like that, you really obviously, like you said, you really didn't get to experience what you were trying to experience. How do you go back to training and readjust? Was it the help of these teammates that you have that are so professional and built up through their career, or was it there's something even in that 7 seconds that clicked in you that said, I need to do this?
It just, as soon as the door closed, there were so many emotions running through my head, and I was so honored to finally fight, because I was supposed to fight a long time ago, but that's when the cancer came, and I was going to fight again, but then the cancer came back again. So I was just, like, angry and full of emotion in that fight. So that when I threw that punch, I threw everything I had into it.
And the lights went out. And the lights went out in Las Vegas for somebody.
bad. I watched the actual knockout probably about 6-7 times. I just kept rewinding it, just the actual knockout. And I mean, that was just so clean. It was just a beautiful punch. You know, I can't wait to see what you do in your next fight. You know, it's just crazy. You know, 7 seconds. That's just an impressive way to make a debut. Now, when you're at your gym in LA, how much do you bring back and work with the other guys there from what you're learning in Vegas?
Well, I bring on a lot. You know, I train out of Defiant and Team Danger over there, and Daniel is my striking coach over there, and I have Thor is my grappling coach. So they've helped me out a lot with my striking and my wrestling. So I kind of just switch it up when I come here. You know, I show the guy stuff, and when I go back home, I show the guy stuff too.
Now, how cool is that to be able to train, you know, in Vegas with that, like you said, an extreme couture with that level of, you know, talent at such a young age?
It's so awesome, man. I'm just like, you know, like you said, you know, I'm just a sponge right now, and I just want to absorb as much as I can. And, like, today in the morning, I was with last week, because Martin Kamen is fighting this weekend versus Hendrick. So, you know, I got to train with him for a bit, and we were talking about it, and just taking his brain and asking him questions and for my career. But it's just an honor. I mean, for being 21 and getting the privilege to just train with, like, UFC fighters, the top guys that already made it compared to my career. I'm just an amateur. I'm so thankful for it.
Now, Hansel, was there a tryout or anything for you to be able to train at Extreme Couture, or was it invitation only? Or
the way that works is I'm part of this organization called It Ain't Chemo, run by Kevin Hoyt, and he's the one that we first started talking after my whole cancer diagnosis, and I wanted to be a part of something to help out the kids, give back to the community with cancer. So I kind of talked to him, and he was really close. He's really close with Randy Couture and Ryan Couture. And there's one time he brought me to Vegas, and he kind of told them about me, and I got to. That's how I got to train with Extreme, and got really close with the guys over here.
Yeah, now that's kind of something I want to talk about here for a second. Is your work with It Ain't Chemo? You spend a lot of time talking to children of all ages that are fighting the fight that you were victorious against. Is that harder when you see those kids fighting that fight than it was for yourself fighting that fight?
Yeah, it's way harder to see these kids. I mean, I love kids, you know, I love them. And, I go to children's hospital, so I always have to see kids with cancer and battling through it. So, it's kind of like a bittersweet thing, you know. I hate to see them there, but I have to be there for them and give them that advice and try to make them laugh and try to make them forget about what they're going through.
Now, how much fun do you have there? Because, I mean, you know, that's got to be one of the things that you try to do when you're with the kids is you don't want to dwell on, you know, the negative sides of things. You got to try and maybe, like, have a little bit of fun with them. What kind of activities do you guys do or anything like that when you're at the hospital?
Yeah, they usually have, like, at Children's Hospital, they have, like, Xbox or they have, like, crafts and activities, and I just sit down with them and just kind of play with them, you know, draw stuff or play games with them. And they usually ask a lot about the whole fighting stuff and how it is and how it is to train. So we talk about that. And I took one of my belts to the hospital, and I had them, like, wearing it around their waist, and, you know, they completely loved it, taking pictures with it.
Dude, that's awesome, man. I bet, like, that makes those guys a day. You know what I mean? This is one of the things that a lot of people, and I stress this a lot when we talk to people that are this philanthropic with the community, And your tie to that is a little bit different than a lot of people's, but there's so many fighters out there that are leaving a positive mark on the community as a whole. What would you like to tell people, you know, that maybe don't see that aspect of the game?
Excuse me?
You know, there's a lot of fighters like yourself that spend times at children's churches or, you know, at the Boys and Girls Club or just training kids off the street and trying to keep them out of trouble. And not always does the public get to see that aspect of the fighter. What would you like the public to know about you guys that, you know, that might help to knock off some of these negative perceptions? Did we lose her?
Yeah, his line just dropped. No, Hansel just dropped.
Oh, okay. Man, that's unfortunate, man. Hansel's got a great story, and I'm hoping to get Kevin Hoyt and the It Ain't Chemo and him back when we do the December charity show that I'm trying to work on putting together. I think them and MMA for the Homeless would be a great combination of people to have on and shed some light on some of the more positive things that are going on in our great sport that we like to sit here and chat about every Wednesday night.
Yeah, and for everybody out there, like I said earlier, you can go to MMAMadhouse.com and find an article. Just go under staff, hit Caitlin, and you'll be able to find it. I think it's on page 2 of her articles.
Just go to the search engine, people, and type in Hansel Aquino, and pow, it'll be right there.
There you go. Look at that. That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Oh, man, where's my paychecks been at then, bro? You been Skyping my paychecks, homie?
Dude, Obama took 97%.
That's what I'm afraid of, man. He's probably paying some of these bills with my money now. I was hoping it was Canadian.
How do you think he got that new Cadillac?
Yeah, I know, man. He's got a new Cadillac, and I'm sitting here driving a Nike Express.
Dude. Oh, man. Hey, go ahead.
Hansel, you back with us, bro?
Yeah, the phone just dropped.
Man, that's Las Vegas for you, bro. They don't like you being on the phone when you're near a vehicle. But, hey, man, I know that you've got practice, but I do want you to know, man, that in December we're trying to put together a charity show, and we'd love to have you and Kevin come on and talk about It Ain't Chemo, man, and I'll try and exchange some information with you on the side to line that up. But if you want to give a shout-out to any of your sponsors or anything like that, you know, man, have a run at it, bro.
No, yeah, that would be awesome. If me and Kevin could be a part of that show and just talk about it, that would be awesome. And shout-outs, I want to give shout-outs to, you know, everybody that believed in me. My sponsors, the Gun Store, Faction, Mouth Guards, Rue, all my coaches, my family, my friends. It Ain't Chemo, because they've been a big help into my career. Kevin Hoyt, basically all my sparring partners, everybody that's been in my life and been positive. And thank you, Madhouse, you know, for having me on the show. It's an honor.
Oh, no, man, it was our pleasure, bro, to have you on here and just start to share your story. And like I said, man, I'll put you guys down for you and Kevin down for that show, and we'll have you guys back on, man, and we can talk about, you know, all those good things that you're doing with It Ain't Chemo, and maybe we'll shed a little more light on your story and how the cancer you overcame and everything like that.
Yeah, an honor to be back in the show, brother. Thank you.
No, anytime, man. We're going to let you go so you're not late to practice. I don't know what they do if you're late to sparring practice, but I'd hate to have that fall on my shoulders, bro.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Hansel, bro. Thank you, man, and best of luck tonight, man. Be safe.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Man, what a kick-ass dude, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like talking to people like that, man, makes me feel like a scumbag sometimes, like I'm not doing enough, you know?
Yeah, I could feel you on that, man. I'll tell you what, dude, yeah, he can sure make somebody feel like they're not productive in life. Dude, this kid's overcome so much. He's obviously training with some world-class fighters. You know, Madhouse has some good luck, Martin Campman. He's been on the show before. I really dig him, and guys, we're going to kick back and just bullshit for a little bit with some MMA. Open lines, 310-742-1799. 1799. 1799.
Yeah, 1799.
I got to talk about something. A big shout-out to Bubba Bush. We had him on the other day. It looks like that he's going to be fighting John Kirk now instead, and it won't be for a title. I'm very, very bummed about that fact.
What
but,
the hell happened there, bro? Why do Bubba's opponents always get put on this carousel, and he's like the carousel stops, and they're like, all right, you're going to fight this guy, and then, like, as soon as he turns around to start training, like, he hears the motors to the carousel start back up, and he has to turn around, he's like, well, who am I fighting now?
Yeah, they threw John Kirk, I guess it's official now. John Kirk, 16-10, will be going against Bubba Bush, 4-2, at Legacy. Madhouse will be there live Friday, November 16th. Guys, that's 2 days away. If you're in Houston, get down there to the Houston Arena Theater. You can also watch it on Access TV. Look for the Madhouse guy standing there taking photos, hopefully. That's a great card, though. I'm really happy with some of the fights on there. The Robert Drysdale versus Chris Reed. You fans should be watching for that fight. That has some excitement written all over it. That's the main event. The co-main is going to be Ray Blodgett versus Nick Gonzalez. I'll tell you right now, I believe this is going to be like the Bubba Bush fight. It's going to be, it is a last-minute replacement, and it's going to be an ass-whooping. Ray's on a tear. He's 7-1. Gonzalez is 17-10. I know Gonzalez has a lot of time in there, but he just doesn't have what it's going to take to beat Ray. Same thing with, there's another great fight, Saul Alinzio,
Elizondo,
and Angel Hertha. That fight Hertha. Right there should be a good fight for fans to watch as well.
So why did they end up pulling the title off of Bubba's fight, man? The fuck? What's he got to do to get a title shot around here?
Dude, he has had, like, when it comes to titles, I don't know any other fighter that's had such bad luck. You know, he had a broken foot, and he went into the fight. And in the fifth round, went into a small diabetic coma. You know, I mean, he was going through withdrawals. His sugars were way off, and he finished the fight and lost the decision, which a lot felt was a close call and could have gone either way. And then you got the next fight. He gets the BSDQ call. You know, oh, God, that really hurt.
Again, in the Artemis fight? Yeah, dude, that was really
Yeah, that was a horrible call, man, horrible call. And now he gets prepared. You guys know who listened to the show regularly. A couple weeks ago we had him on. He was just getting his camp started. He was feeling really good. Things were great. He was all healed up. He felt like this was his to lose, and he was going to go in there and take home a title, so... it sucks. Though he is fighting at Legacy, it's great exposure. So he's got to look at that as a plus.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's just got to keep stacking up wins, dude. He'll be fine, you know. I mean, it just sucks, though, you know, to have a title, like, in your hand, out of your hand, in your hand, out of your hand, in your hand, out of your hand.
You know, I'd like to have it back on again after this to talk to him about that, you know.
Hey, dude, can we do, like, a fun little game with the listeners? And who's our representative going to be at Legacy?
Trey Davenport.
Oh, Trey Davenport. What can we do to really get Trey going good? Maybe the first person to kiss Trey on the cheeks, dude or chick, gets a free Madhouse shirt. Post a picture on Facebook and tag his ass.
I don't know how well a man kissing another man on the cheek in Texas will go over. But, and I almost
said it goes well,
hey,
Carl, it goes well in Canada, doesn't it? That's a Canadian trick I heard.
It's French.
Head to Quebec, maybe.
I thought as long as there was no eye contact, it was okay.
No. You're wrong. Very wrong.
you know what, speaking of funny things, I almost said we should have the first girl that goes up and films themselves telling Trey that they're pregnant with his kid. That'd be so funny.
Oh, dude, that's a better idea. That's a better idea. Tout that out and tag Madhouse in it, and we'll get you a free t-shirt.
I tell you what, because Trey would be like,
maybe.
Funny.
He'd be like, maybe. What hotel?
That's exactly. He'd be like, what hotel? you know, I'm excited to know that he passed up some great events in San Antonio this weekend to go to Legacy in Houston, which is really cool. But he is going to be going back to Cowboy Extreme Cage Fighting's Premier Combat event down there in San Antonio, December 1st. He called me today and said that they'd already called him and said his press passes were waiting.
Nice, dude. I'd like to have that girl on the show again, and hopefully that dipshit that had the craziness go on that night won't call back in this time, so we're not all left there going like,
I definitely should look and see about trying to squeeze her in maybe before or after her Christmas, their December 1st show. You know, whether to talk about how the fights went or to talk about how they're going to go. But, you know, I know this month we're trying to push a lot of people in, and I'm looking forward to a verification for John Nutt. I should be getting that any day. I'm super excited about that.
No, that'll be super awesome. I mean, dude, how, you know, can it get any better?
No, it can't. I watched that interview he did. It's about an 18-minute long interview, and he's wearing that shirt that says, "There are not two people effing on my back." Oh, my, dude, that was such a great interview. I literally was just sitting here. I told my wife, I'm like, don't talk. You know, it was such a good interview. I can't wait to have him on and let all our listeners experience what they're bringing to the table. I mean, but there's a lot of great MMA this weekend all over. I believe
there's a sick amount of cards, bro.
And then don't forget, Cage Sport dropped the announcement today for their next card.
Yeah, well, I've known about it. I just haven't been able to say anything about it.
That's why you guys can go to MMAMadhouse.com and see the article on it.
Yeah, now they can do that. But was the fight that I told you about on it yet, or are they still holding back on that one?
Right now what they have listed is two title fights, which is going to obviously be Drew Wilkinshire. I guess that's against Julian Arosa.
Yeah, that's the featherweight title fight.
Yeah, and then the second fight is the heavyweight title, which is Daniel Stewart and Widler. Widler.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Anthony Hamilton, bro.
Yeah, you're right. It is Anthony Hamilton taking on Bill Widler. You're right.
It was originally thought that Mike Hayes was going to be on that card fighting Bill Widler. And I'm not sure what happened to Mike on that card, but I don't know. That was what I've been hearing for like the last 4 weeks was Mike Hayes from every little corner of the planet. And then I heard he was going to fight Bill Widler. So this could actually kind of be interesting with, you know, with McPherson now taking pro and losing that split decision to Bill in Reading 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know, if Josh can string together a couple wins and Bill wins that fight, you know, maybe he can get a rematch up there at Cage Sport for the title.
Good call. And I believe that, Josh coming off of that fight got him ready for his FCFF fight, which everybody, you guys already know, it was an obliteration of his opponent, Trent Standing. He left that guy in a bloody mess in the ring. It was almost sad. So we know he's got power. We know he's got cardio and heart to go the distance against Widler, who's somewhat of a seasoned vet. I know strictly on the West Coast, but still, a lot of people have stepped up to Bill and not been able to win. And Bill's losses, you got to think, one of those losses, I believe, is a 205 loss at Rogue Fights last year. He took on a late fight. He took it on Wednesday and cut down to 205 by Friday and fought Saturday, and he lost. I believe it was a decision. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was the second round TKO. But either way, you know, so he has a good record theoretically. He's 5-2 in his weight class.
Yeah, no, dude. Bill's legit, bro. I mean, you know. He's a legit little badass. Hey, hold on, dude. We got a caller.
802, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
What's going on?
Just listening to the show. I haven't heard it before.
Oh, where are you going
Why
from?
Why not?
Where am I calling from?
Yeah.
Vermont.
From Vermont?
From where?
Yes, sir, Vermont.
You know Bruce, do you know Bruce Richards?
Of course I do. I also am sponsored by MMA Madhouse.
Oh,
shit. Oh, this is, hold on.
Who's screaming the callers for crying out loud?
This is James Manning, correct?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing, James? It took me a second, man. I was brain farting right there. I was like, I know it's a Manning, but it's not Eli.
I'm doing good. I'm good.
Hey, for everybody out there, you've had to take a little bit of time off. It looks like you're ready to get back to the game, huh?
I am. Actually, I'm cutting down to 170 to fight in my fourth different weight class.
Wow. How excited are you to get to that, you know, weight class? I know you keep, you know, switching, but is this a class you feel like is going to be the right fit this time?
I thought the other ones, they felt good, but I believe 170 is going to really show what I can do. Show my full strength and potential.
So where are you training at right now? You still there?
Hello?
Yeah. I asked where you're training at right now.
United Fighting Arts Institute, South Burlington. I was training with Bruce the other day.
We love Bruce, dude. He is just a monster, dude. This kid fights. I mean, he'll fight every Friday if you let him.
Yeah, he pretty much does. I love the kid. Tough nails.
What is in the water out there? You're on your fourth different weight class. Bruce would fight every other day if he could. There's something in the water in Vermont that's not in the water in other parts of the country, man. Look, shed some light on that, James.
We're just Vermont strong.
Vermont strong.
Oh, yeah. Vermont strong.
I got a buddy in Vermont who owns a tattoo shop, and he used to say that to me all the time. You're Vermont strong. I was like,
Hey, we're just exactly the people up here.
So, for all the fans out there who might not know anything about you, why don't you give a little quick bio? You know, what got you into MMA? What kind of athletics? You know,
record.
Well, I was boxing when I was in high school, and then once I was out, there really wasn't much to do. So I took up wrestling and actually fell completely in love with it. Then one of my best friends brought me to Tom Murphy, who owns Rail City MMA, and got me into jiu-jitsu and striking, Muay Thai. The record's not the best, 2-4. It took a lot of fights within, 10 hours notice. The heavyweight fight didn't go so well. But that's why I'm going to 170. I'm not tall enough for heavyweight and light heavyweight anymore. 185, I can still cut down and really be strong and tougher than everyone else in the divisions.
So with 170, how tough of a cut is this going to be? Have you done a practice cut yet, or are you just going on what you know your body can do?
I'm going on what I know I can do, because 185 wasn't bad at all.
Okay, hey, I got to ask. Go ahead, Lepaki.
I didn't say anything, bro.
Oh, okay. Hey, I got to ask you, how far from Fredericks are you?
Fredericks. I don't even know.
Oh, I was just curious. That's where my boy lives. He lives in some town called Frederick. I believe that's what it's called. I was just curious. I wanted to know how far he was. I was going to tell him to go down and say hi to you guys. You can check it out, man. Get some photos for me. You know, I'm always trying to hustle, man. I'm like, I got a buddy who lives 30 miles away. He can drive down and take some photos.
How long is it taking you to get from a heavyweight weight down to where you're at now?
Well, my first fight was at heavyweight, which was in October 2008. And then I did the next one was 195, and then three at 205. And then I went to 185 my last one this past December. Took a year off to just get life together, and now I'm going back just to do the 170 because I know I can.
Yeah, that'll be awesome, man. That's not only, like, you know, good for you, but that shows a lot of people that, you know, any kind of thing with the right kind of dedication is possible. Skippy's going to ask you a question, but it's going to be the Clinch Custom Mouth Guards question of the week.
Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Get clinch.com.
This question is a dearly close to Clinch's heart, and he is hoping that you give the right answer to this question. Who do you pick, Condit or GSP?
Oh, wow. Condit is an amazing fighter. I mean, he has so many surprises, but GSP is a veteran in there. I've met GSP, so, and with everything I know, I'm going to have to go to GSP.
Okay, GSP, man. Well, that is for all you Zufa zombies who want to know that, you know, who Clinch is supporting. I believe he's going to support GSP because he just thinks he's the best ever. He said if he had a teddy bear like GSP, he'd snuggle with it every night.
Hey, GSP, man.
GSP is pretty good, but my personal opinion is he's going to get demolished.
My personal opinion? I want GSP to win, but I think Carlos is too much on top of it right now to lose.
Yeah, I agree.
Diaz, like, it's hard to beat a Diaz. He picked him apart for 5 rounds.
Yeah, I guess if picking him apart is backing away the whole time.
See, that's what I think. I think that Diaz was the more aggressive. I felt that Diaz was more controlling. I think Diaz did more damage. I think Diaz won it. I had him 3-2. That's how I had it. I know a lot of people disagree, and that's what's great about this sport is we all have opinions, and we all get to express them, and it all comes down to one thing. Those two men, when that cage door shuts, none of our opinions matter, and that's what I love about this sport. It comes down to those two guys.
James, what's it like rolling with Bruce?
Yeah, he is so squirrely, it's ridiculous. It's hard for me to keep him down, and I outweigh him by 50-something pounds.
Has he got the go-go on you at all?
He tries.
And I think is it safe to say that might be his favorite submission to try and get on people?
Yeah, well, the night we rolled, I think he tried on every single person.
Wow, and he's won a fight with it, too, which I thought was even more impressive.
Yeah,
that is really impressive.
Well, hey, brother, we're going to let you go. We appreciate you. Want to give some shout-outs before we hang up? Let everybody know to find you on Facebook, Twitter, any shout-outs to gyms, sponsors, anything like that. Go for it.
First of all, MMA Madhouse, thank you guys for supporting me, sponsoring me. USAI, absolutely best team around. Love those guys. My other team, Team Mad Coalition, my corners, I love everyone. And thank you guys for having me on the show tonight.
Oh, anytime, brother, man. Let us know when you're going to fight.
Will do. It'll be at the beginning of this year.
Cool. Make sure so we can share it with the world, man. You have a good night. Thanks for calling in.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. And then Vermont guys, man, they just like to scrap, Skippy. They're just scrappers up there, bro.
Dude, have you noticed that there's a lot of good events starting to pop up there? And, I mean, you know, a lot of fans out there don't know, but Vermont produces some great, great MMA fighters. And, you know, I want to give a big shout-out to Clinch Custom Mouth Guards for doing the question of the day. And
you know, for everybody out there, he's not really got a teddy bear he wants to look like GSP he can snuggle with. I don't want you guys sending him a bunch of GSP memorabilia to P.O. Box. I'm just joking.
No, dude, he didn't want the teddy bear, remember? He wanted the GSP trunks so he could model them around.
Oh, that's right. He wants those trunks that say, "You've underestimated my performance."
Eagle!
Oh, he keeps texting me that I'm an ass. We got mad love for him and all the boys that take care of us. You know, guys, everybody out there, go check out all our sponsors, whether it's Revolver MMA, Razorware, Global MMA Consulting, Ink Tank Tattoo, Vision Smoke Shop. I mean, all of them. Where you at? Some are local, some are international. You know, go out there and check out all our sponsors, man. Show them some love. Follow them on Twitter.
You know,
like them on Facebook.
Dude, I got to say something. You know, I'm like, every day I have to unsubscribe from these cocksuckers sending me this bullshit email, right? This is totally off the topic of MMA people. But it's like, then they give you this message. Oh, it takes up to 48 hours. So then you know what these motherfuckers do? Man, they spam email you for like the next 48 hours. If I tell you I want to unsubscribe, that doesn't mean I want you to fucking spam email me. It ain't fucking hard to figure out. God damn.
Oh,
my phone's sitting here going berserker in my ear, and I'm like, shut the fuck up.
You know what my favorite is? I miss junk mail. Everybody used to hate junk mail, but at least there was something to burn come wintertime. What do you get with spam?
Yeah, dude.
Nothing. It's funny because I got 1,700 emails last month, and out of that, 460 were spam. I'm like, really? Are you serious? Come on, man. I got the filter on. But it'll send you that email. It's like singles in Russia looking for a husband. I'm like, okay, why would you send me that crap? You know, or my favorite's, we understand that you have a house loan that needs to be refinanced. Why don't you contact us at blah, 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 blah. Really? I'd like to know where this house loan is because I ain't paying on it.
I thought you wanted me to sign you up for those emails, Skippy. Sorry, man.
Oh, Carl, don't even start with that, man. You'll be getting more free packages of Huggies than you can imagine. I'll sign you up for 85 different mother's names.
Make sure they're like size 4 or size 5, though.
Yeah, that little girl is growing, man. She is growing quick, Carl.
She's huge. Very big.
Do you want disposable, Carl, or the ones you can use over and over?
Cloth.
Hey, I'll take whatever I can get if it's free.
Hey, Cole,
I hear you, brother.
Free? How's that box of yours?
Awesome, man. That's, you know, one of the coolest things I've ever received. There's some, you know, I can't thank you enough for sending that up, man. There's some killer shirts in there. I love it.
Was there a green shirt in there, or did Skippy try to keep
it? Beautiful. The green one is in there. My wife loves it.
Dude, I sent him up, about a dozen shirts, I guess, and some signed Cage Quest 2 poster. And, Carl, here's the weird thing, is the same day you got your package, I got my package from Charmaine Tweet with her walkout shirts autographed to the team. They're hanging up in the
office.
My boy Mark Doby sent me his walkout shirt. I just got it today. It's it's pretty nice. I like it. He's actually sponsored by CrossRoaderClothing.com. They teamed up and sent me one of their shirts. It's pretty nice. I'll send you a picture of it later.
Oh, yeah,
that's great. Are you guys
still
talking about
your
fucking freebies and your promotional shirts now so I can join the conversation here? The fuck?
Oh, Lepaki, I got you some freebies, too. Clinch Custom Mouth Guard sent me some panties for you. He said you'd like them. He said they'd fit you. He said something about you being a candy ass.
As long as it's crotchless, we'll be all right.
Jesus Christ, he's tiny. I have a bigger chunks of corn in my crap.
Do you know what you need to get, Carl? You need to go and get some sound bites from Spinal Tap, Breaking the Wind, man. They got some great ones in there, man. Like, could you live without the rock and roll? Well, if I could keep the sex and drugs.
I forgot all about those guys.
Dude, that's a class.
No kidding. It's been a while. Let's put it that way.
I think we should all have to change our walkout music for the next few months.
Dude, what do you mean? Just like come up with some new stuff?
You come up with a new song for your walkout, for your little intro. I'll come up with a new song.
Oh, yeah.
Send it in. Send them to me, guys. I'll edit them up. No problem. No problem.
I've actually been thinking about that, man. You know, I've been doing Red Dog for almost a year now. It's time to bring in something different. I've been thinking some old school, like, 80s thrash.
Like some Wasp.
Ooh, maybe some SOD. I want some milk. I should have been told. I want some milk. My coffee grows cold. If I get sick, I'll just down weekends of beer. If I get sick, the toilet is near. I want some milk. Love that song.
Hey, I do want to give a shout-out right now, man, to my favorite local MMA organization on the great continent of Australia, FightNewsAustralia.com, man. That guy, dude, if I ever have questions about what's cracking off down there, he's always got either the answer or the place I can find the answer. And it's just great, man, being able to talk to other people in parts of the world that are covering local MMA the way we are.
Hey, don't forget, we now are in New Zealand. We have a new team member who will be covering local MMA and Thai and whatever kind of combat sports, Darren Edwards. You guys should check him. He's going to start covering New Zealand for us. You know, like I said, we're always growing, man. We're trying to get as much local MMA to the fans out there, you know, try to open the doors for our sponsors to new regions of MMA. So you guys all follow us, man. Go to MMAMadhouse.com, MMAMadhouse on Twitter, on Tout, on Google Plus. You know, you can find us anywhere, guys. Just Google it, man. We're coming up, dude. We're coming up strong. So you guys can find, you know, we just added Denver. We're in talks right now with a new team in Tulsa. Just added New Zealand. Big shout out. Happy birthday, One Speed Eddie Blackburn. Before I forget, sorry, I don't know why. I almost forgot to do that. Happy birthday, Eddie.
Dude, we forgot Tommy D's birthday last week, bro. Fuck, man.
Oh,
I felt
we
like
did.
A dick when I remembered that over the weekend, and I was like, fuck, it was Tommy Davis's birthday. So happy belated birthday, Tommy Davis. And I read somewhere he got married, but I don't know if that was some kind of joke or not.
Well, you know they were in Vegas.
Well, yeah, that's true, but I didn't know him and DJ could get married in Vegas.
Oh, that's funny. DJ Letterman now fighting Lepaki at World Series of Fighting 3.
I'll be making my debut, folks. My debut will be against DJ Letterman for that comment. It'll be okay.
It will also be his funeral, so please dress in black. Oh, man. Yeah, dude. A big shout out, man. Eddie Blackburn, everything goes good. We should see him fighting here shortly. You know, I think he's going to try to do one more pro fight before he gets back to focusing on Cage Quest this coming year. So I'm excited about that. I love those events. You know, I'm just a big fan of Eddie, dude. You know, we've sponsored him. And we've been there from the beginning for his promotion. And, you know, once again, big shout-out. Happy birthday, brother, man. Mad love to you and the family and that new little one-speed lady running around the house. I'm curious how his dog is reacting to it, because his dog was like their baby before. And it's like a 130-pound rock, dude. It's just a big old glop of meat with four legs. So I'm kind of curious how that is. I had rocks when we had our second child, and she became very jealous of the kids.
Yeah, they either do that or they go the other way and you never get near the kid.
Yeah, I've heard people tell me that the dogs become almost possessive of the baby.
Yeah, no, man, I've seen that happen on multiple occasions on people with rots, dude. It's so funny because even, like, the parent has a hard time getting to the kid, and you're just, like, sitting there laughing, like, ah, dummy.
Oh, man. So what do you guys got on the, you know, on the burner this weekend? I know that I'm pretty busy. I know tomorrow night you guys can find me. I'm going to be a guest talking
the showdown fights, the David Castillo, Justin Buchholz lightweight championship fight. I'm going to stop in and drop and say hi to the boys over at Go Fight Live on the radio about it. That event's coming up this weekend, so I'm super excited about that. You know, Madhouse will have live results for that, or you can go to Go Fight Live TV and purchase it and own it for life. But Locked in the Cage is this weekend.
King of the Cage in Edmonton. We got a crew at that event this weekend.
Hell yeah, Carl, break it down for us.
I don't have the card in front of me, to tell you the truth.
No. Our events, our team covered events.
Oh, jeez.
CSC 34 Battleware Fight Championships in Richmond, Virginia. We'll have live results from there. That's going to be cool. It's a Muay Thai / MMA card. What else do we got coming up, guys, this weekend? Locked in the Cage in Philadelphia. Locked in the Cage 12. You can catch live results from that.
I'm not sure. Our schedule is, our schedule is not filled out here. I'm not sure.
Yeah, why are these people not filling this shit out?
We got Gamera, King of the Cage. I know. That's all I know.
Well, look, the last three events were just added today, so I know that I have not got a chance to throw those in, but they will be in after the show.
Sooner. Jason gets to go to Aggression next week, too? This fucking guy, man, he goes to some great events up there in Canada, bro.
He really does. He's one of the lucky, you know, Edmonton is a hotbed, man. There's some great things that go on up there. He's definitely one of the luckiest guys on our whole team, going to all the MFC events and, you know.
AFC, King of the Cage, MF. I mean, good God, man. We're down here, like, scraping along, dude. And he's just
Hit cards.
I'm a boss. I'm just sitting here again at another top event. No offense towards the events I go to. I love you guys very much.
He does, man. He's a lucky.
Before I'm fucking myself on live radio right here, I'm gonna be blackballed from all the events in the Pac Northwest here in a second.
They're gonna be like, "You didn't talk about us."
Fuck.
I'm hoping that we are at the next Spokane in the Valley, Spokane's Vengeance in the Valley from Spokane School of Boxing. I'm hoping that Nick's back up and running by then.
Have you talked to him?
Carl, didn't you spend some time with him this past weekend?
Nick Carroll, yeah, he was up in Penticton with me at Battlefield 19. It looks like he's going to be able to get back into the mix a little bit more here in the future. He's been dealing with a few things over the last month or so that have kept him out of a few shows, but it sounds like everything's clearing up and he's going to get back out there. So, looking forward to that. It was really cool to meet him finally, person to person. Super cool guy. He was up with his brother, Daniel Swain, who was cornering Micah Brakefield.
So Nick's Daniel's brother?
Yes. That's how we got hooked up. Daniel Swain hooked him up with us on live radio, basically.
Yeah.
I don't remember what episode that was, but he's like, what did Swain say? He asked his brother for advice on some fighters because his brother knows everything about everybody. And, you know, as soon as he said that Skippy and I jumped all over him.
That's the truth. I mean, like, the next day we were on the phone, and a week later he covered his first event. And he covered, like, a bunch for us. I mean, really, that's the thing I really miss about him. And I'm glad that everything's back good for him and health's better, because Lepaki, he kills it on that side of the mountain in Washington, man. I mean, from border to border, all the way into Idaho, man. I mean, Spokane, all up and down, all the way up to the Canadian border. I mean, he was hitting all those events over there that we just can't get to.
Oh, no, it's great, man. I mean, I'm kind of torn, dude. Like, on December 1st, man, I got to figure out a way to clone myself.
Oh, there's so many events going on December 1st.
Dude, well, I got to... I got to, you know, I feel an obligation to be at Cage Sport, but then I also kind of want to go watch this fight that Matt Kovacs is in somehow against David Alexander. And just because I like watching Kovacs fight. I mean, that's a totally selfish reasons right there. I want to go to that fight. If it wasn't on a res, dude, I would probably really consider going, but I'm leaning right now towards going to Cage Sport.
Well, I don't blame you.
I know what you're getting.
You know Cage Sport's going to have a good card.
What, Carl?
Said you know what you're getting at Cage Sport, you know. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get on the res. I may not make
it
off the res.
You might end up with a trunk full of fireworks.
That's all I'm okay with that, bro. I can sell that for good money down here in Oregon, you know. I was kind of shouldn't have said that on the damn radio. Fuck.
Bam, FBI kicks your door in live on the show next week. That'd be cool.
Hey,
Carl, I said time to cops I was on.
Time to pay bills, buddy? Do we got to get
it is time.
Break from our madness?
Yes, and then we'll return in about 4 minutes with some more open lines. So anybody who wants to
call in after the BFL 19 recap. BFL 19
we can talk.
Recap will be coming on.
We can do that.
We'll play
310. 742-1799. Okay, let's do this.
Brass Bound World. Brawl Base. Get Clinched. Razorware. Intimidation Clothing. Tank Crimes. Global MMA Consulting. No Pain, Just Glory. Central Oregon Trike. Combat Sports Insurance. Vision Smoke Shop. 24MLG. Drago Sports. Triumph Fitness. Big D Nightclub. Revolver MMA. We'll be right back.
All right, zip it.
You can't even...
Zip it. Zip.
Look, all
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit A.
Number two, would you please back
Look,
me up?
Look, I'm Zippy Longstockings.
I can't...
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Frau, would you please...
Too high, bring the wall. Mitha hiyo ito. Subtitle, zip it.
I'm just trying to...
Zip. Would you like to have a suckle of my zipper?
I want... Zip. Stop.
Really? Come here.
You know...
Come here.
You're like a child.
Wait a minute.
Talking. It's you. Just one time.
We're back.
Whoa.
That
crazy editing machine.
I'm surprised that we don't play more Rush on this show with Carl being from Canada.
Yeah, right. The man.
You're going to try and tell me, Carl, you don't like Rush?
What I think of Rush. That's Rush.
Wow, man. Rush, man. That's one of my favorite classic rock bands, bro.
Oh, wouldn't be if you were Canadian because you get to hear it way too much. Way too much.
What's that badass 80s rock band that like pretty much made 80s rock? They're from Canada and they're still playing, man. Can't think of the name.
Jekyll?
No, they have that whole documentary on them and everything, man. They were super good. And
Trailer Park Boys?
No. damn.
Vanilla Ice.
No, like, no. I keep wanting to say.
Millie Vanilli's from Canada. Millie Vanilli's from Canada.
Aren't they dead?
I don't know, but they made it rain. They made it rain.
You lost me, Skippy. So, I have no idea who you're talking about. Lover Boy?
No. I'm drawing such a blank. I'm so mad.
Well, just Google search it, you goofball. You're sitting in front of a computer.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Dude, well, everybody listening in, out of the three of us, the only guy that got to go to a live event last weekend was Carl the Madman, and he got to go to a badass event up in Canada known to some of you as Battlefield Fight League 19 and to some of us as just BFL 19. Carl, how was the event as a whole?
As a whole, it was spectacular. I've been to a handful of Battlefield events now, and, you know, they just keep getting better and better and better. And, you know, 19 was phenomenal, really, from start to finish. It was great.
Yeah, there was you had a good mixture.
Anvil!
Anvil, yeah.
Yeah, dude, I can't believe. Anvil. That's what we need to play more of.
Metal on metal.
Metal on metal. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, it's okay, buddy. As long as you figure out what you're talking about and not looking like a crazy person in front of the audience, it's good. You know, we don't want them to think you're delusional.
Nope.
Don't change your mind, folks. You're absolutely correct if that's what you're thinking.
While we're semi on the BFL topic, there's a kid named Joe Parada. He's an amateur. I've seen every one of his fights. You know, watch out for this kid, man. He's gonna make a name for himself. I truly believe it. 17 years old, super professional kid to talk to. You wouldn't ever believe he was 17. And you know, he brings it when he gets into that cage. You know, it's time to go, and you know, he won his fight, armbar, I believe, in the first round, and you know, once again demonstrated, he's coming out of a great gym in British Columbia here, the Tushido gym. There's been a lot of great fighters that have come out of there and that are even still in that camp, you know, Matt Dwyer, there's a tough fighter right now on Tough Vegas, Michael Hill, he's a Tushido fighter. Rory McDonald spent time there. you know, there's a it's really truly a great gym, and you know, watch for this kid. That's all I got to say. Joe Parata.
Carl, what did you think about Gagan Gil?
Of which?
The Gagan Gil fight. He beat Marlon Hall with a guillotine.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was a great fight, man. You know, Marlon, I've seen all of his fights too. He comes to fight. He put on a good show. It was a really evenly matched fight. Gil, you know, I think he had probably the better stamina, and third round, you know, he sunk in that guillotine and it was over. It was a good fight though, and all I can say is great things about him too. Super nice guy to talk to. You know, he's a guy to watch for sure.
Was Kultar with him? I think Sabah was at that fight, wasn't he?
Sabah was.
Yeah.
Remember those photos of him taping him up?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was just the two of them. They came together from Team MMA Mamba, I believe it was.
Yeah, who talk about a team that's on a tear in 2012. Mamba MMA out of British Columbia right now. I think they're 21-4 on the year. 21-4 people as a gym.
Yeah.
I mean
it was a good fight. That was a great fight. I hope I get to see him again at a future event. I heard Battlefield's coming back into my territory in February, so that'll probably be the next show that I get to go to.
Now, is that where they come back to Penticton, or is that a closer place to you than Penticton?
No, rumor is back to Penticton in February. So they were planning.
Dude, are you
on
gonna...
They were originally having two shows in Penticton this month, but they. I didn't get a chance to talk to Jay about it, but they pulled the plug on the second show in Penticton on November 30th. So, but they're having have another show. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead, Carl.
No, I was just going to say the BFL 20 though. They still have it down in Vancouver coming up in 2 weeks, I guess.
Now, are you going to use the dog sled to get to that show in February? I mean, I figure there's got to be a lot of snow up there in your way, and you'll probably just have to get the dogs out and mush your way to that event, or will the roads be clear?
Well, if you snoop around enough on Carl the Madman's Twitter, you'll see a picture of my snowmobile. I was thinking I might use it.
Oh, man, you're one of them highfalutin Canadians with a snowmobile.
See that? It's a classic. It's a classic snowmobile.
Oh,
is it a Polaris or a Ski-Doo, or what are we talking about here?
It's a Panther.
A Panther, huh? I prefer Cougars myself, but, I mean, if you like...
Dude, Panthers, like a Panther, like the German war tank? Is that what you're cruising around
in? No, not a Panzer.
In?
Not a Panzer.
Oh.
Maybe a
fucking goofball. I said Panzer. I was like, that's a German war tank.
the Jewish guy wouldn't know that.
Hey, you got to know your history, right?
Hey, if you don't, you're doomed to repeat that shit.
I don't want to walk in the desert for 40 years.
How did Micah Brakefield look up there, Carl?
Micah Brakefield looked phenomenal. He was fighting a guy I've seen a fight a few times, and Stephen Fitch, or not Fitch, shit, I can't think of his last name right now.
Fritchie. Fritchie. It's out of art of what you
Yeah,
say.
Yeah.
Fritchie.
Yeah, you're, that's right. Super tough guy, but Micah, you know, he took it to him. You know, it was Micah's fight, start to finish. Micah looked great in his debut.
And Mark Doby had another phenomenal performance. Skippy will really enjoy it when he finished his fight at the 4 minute and 20 second mark of the first round.
That's how ballers do it.
Yeah, no, Mark looked good. You know, he won his fourth fight in a row now. He's a bit been on a bit of a tear. That was a good fight. He was fighting a guy who's probably nearing the end of his career, but, you know, it was still a great fight.
Awesome. And oh, there was more great fights on that card. Do we have a caller? I think we have a caller.
That's what I was just
saying. Yeah, we do, actually.
Caller, are you with us?
Give me one second here. No, he's not. Just give me a second here. I'm having a technical issue at the moment.
Intern.
Of course. Damn intern.
Fucking interns, man. I tell you, dude, they're worthless, bro.
They are. That's why they get paid
a lot. Okay, caller. Caller's in queue. Ready to rock.
Caller.
What's up, Carl? Skippy.
Eddie.
Oh, shit.
Happy birthday, everybody. The man himself. Eddie Blackburn.
What's going on, guys?
Not much, brother. How's it going up there, man?
Oh, I've been a busy man.
How's the little lady?
She's doing great. Ready to get back to work, busy with the baby. She's awesome. Everything's great, bro.
Okay,
has that baby got any Yankees gear yet? Hold on, Skippy. Has that baby got any Yankees gear yet?
What's that?
Does the baby have any Yankees gear yet?
Oh, the baby's got a lot of Yankee gear, bro.
That's what I like to hear, brother. That's what I like to hear, man.
Hey, Eddie, we were talking about this, and it's funny you called in because you got a wonderful dog, and I've got to know, how did she react once the baby came home? Because, you know, we were talking about this, and some rots go to the, aggressive side to where, they don't want anybody near the baby, and they're very standoffish, and some go the other way where they feel like they're left out.
It's crazy, bro. The dog's actually a male, but it's my wife's best buddy, and then when this baby comes home, it's like this dog is taking over. He's, like, so protective, and you can't get near that baby without him knowing what's going on. Very protective. That's 130 pounds of protection right there.
Yeah. Well, you got a great dog, and you got a wonderful wife. And you know, I'm glad that you guys have this little lady. Now I got to ask you. I know you got a lot on the table, and everything's been churning and burning for you on your personal level. But in the background, have you been working on Cage Quest 3? Be honest.
Yeah, bro. I got a Cage Quest 3 might come in March. I'm kind of it's a toss up right now if we're gonna do the show or not. I definitely want to do it, but the state of Washington is coming over and they're actually taking over the amateur side of fighting here. And there's a lot of rules and I'm not the guy. I heard there's a blood timeout type thing where if there's blood in the cage, they're gonna stop the fight until all the blood's cleaned up. My kind of crowd don't like that, bro. You already know that. They want to see blood. They want fights. And then, the shin guards and the puffies. So, I mean, I'm encouraging amateur fighters, if you guys are ready, go pro. Get paid and take care of yourself.
Well, I do know that your events have always been done top-notch. They're in a beautiful location. You have great staff. You have medical on site. You have great everything for those fighters. So I hope that we still get to see you do an event. I love them, big fan of them. I either way, I know that you're not going anywhere. I mean, you're always going to keep producing and fighters. Now, are we going to see you fight in the near future?
February, bro.
Okay.
And actually, the promoter's talking to me from Cage Sport right now, so. Should be the February show. I got a little medical issue I need to get fixed, and I got some doctor's appointments the next couple of weeks. So once I get fixed, then yeah, February.
How stoked are you, Eddie, to be getting back in there and doing some business?
Oh, I'm ready. I've got some good guys in the gym working out with me right now. And matter of fact, I got a guy that's fighting this Saturday. He's fighting for another title. Last month he won two belts in a promotion. He's fighting for another one this Saturday. It's Alfonso Gonzalez. He's 5-1 right now as an amateur. And if everything goes right this Saturday, this is his last amateur fight, and you'll see him fighting pro.
Yeah, dude, that was a great performance in the belt-for-belt title, the fight that Alfonso had. I mean, that was a really good fight, and he walked through that guy like a wet paper bag.
And he was underdog, and it's like, this guy that he's fighting, he's got so much fights, and he's got a few more fights than Alfonso did. He's got a couple of titles in different promotions, and Alfonso's went across the cage, took him down, and you know, handled him.
Yeah, it was very quick. I thought that fight was going to go a little while. And then I watched it, and I was like, holy shit, man, Alfonso is just getting better by leaps and bounds, like exponentially.
Very, very tough guy.
What do you think is leading up to his rapid progression like that, Eddie?
Me?
I like it. Spoken like a true coach.
No, yeah, he's got a lot of heart and he's got a lot of desire and he's there every day working out hard and taking his beatings and ready to get beatings, you know?
Yeah,
so,
how much
are you?
Hold on, I got a good question for Eddie because he can answer this, man. How exciting is it when you, at the end of a camp, man, and you've been getting beat on, you know, shark tanking yourself and all that shit, and then you finally get to just unleash the beast on fight night. What is it like, that progress? Because a lot of people that are listening don't get to experience that.
Bro, that's a great feeling. It's like the guys that you train with and you know how good they are, and when you're getting those beatings and, you know, and you're giving the beating back in the gym, you feel that there's nobody at an amateur level, because, I mean, Alfonso's training with pros. There's nobody at an amateur level that can give him what we're giving him. So his confidence level is huge. And that's, like you said, you saw the last fight. He went right across the cage and did his business because his confidence level was unbelievable.
Now, how much is that due to the fact that he has a clinch custom mouth guard?
That's huge, too. Big shout out to Jeff.
Yeah, you know he's listening, man.
That's the man.
I had to throw that out
clinch
for him.
Custom mouth guards. Get
clinch. Are you still
at?
Eddie, you still at Buffalo Wild Wings?
I just left. We just left, and the daughter's hungry, and she wants to get home. We just got her little cry on.
Oh. Have you had a good birthday so far, brother?
Oh, great birthday, bro.
What do you think about your boy tomorrow night going up against Alexander?
Oh,
I know
Monson's
you guys
gonna win,
tight,
bro. I'm calling first round north-south choke.
Oh, dude, Lepocky, what did you call earlier?
I said that Jeff could win by a north-south choke.
Bam!
But that's just like, that's his go-to, man. Eddie, is there anybody that has a more go-to move than Jeff Monson in that north-south choke? I don't understand how he takes people down right into it.
Exactly. And when he's passing guard duty, he's already got a halfway on.
Yeah.
Believe me, I felt it before, huh, guys?
Oh, dude, I told Lepocky once, and one of these days I'll pull up the audio from it when he told the story when you guys, when he choked you out, man. I'm still, to the day I died, that'd be one of the greatest stories I ever heard. You whack him over the head with a mallet.
Dude, it was a croquet stick.
And he did.
He was coming at me. That's like 240. That's 245 pounds of straight muscle.
Oh, man.
I had to defend myself. We're in different weight classes. I had to defend myself.
Eddie, do you think there's a more underrated grappler out there than Jeff Monson?
I don't think so. But I don't even think he's underrated, though.
Well, I think not amongst some savages like us, but I think among these reject casual people that don't understand that since Jeff's not in the UFC anymore, that they would tend to think that he's
you,
up
there. Why do you think Jeff's not in the UFC anymore?
I know exactly why he told us.
Because he doesn't want to.
I know exactly.
He wants to fight. Hey, remember
exactly
what he said on the show?
The dude will fight every freaking weekend if you let him.
Yeah, remember, Eddie, when we asked him about the belts the first time you brought him on the show, he said, well, I've
got
a bunch of belts, but he goes, they're in my closet, I guess.
And I told you they're in
his
closet. He doesn't care.
Exactly. He just wants to fight, and the UFC's contracts won't let him do that.
Exactly. And he wants to grapple every weekend, too, and the UFC contract won't let him do that. And he wants to speak his mind, and the UFC contract won't let him do that.
Well, and that's something you've touched on. He does almost every event that he is a fighter on in that country or that city, he does a grappling seminar, usually before or after it.
Exactly.
You know, so that's a paycheck
that's
to a guy.
He's honestly giving back. He's giving back.
Yeah, it's very true.
How stupid is it that the UFC doesn't see that as a positive tool that they could totally take advantage of
like by allowing guys to do the seminars like that, but they're so short-sighted that they don't allow it.
Exactly. And I think, you know, the heavyweight division right now needs somebody like him. I mean, you saw what he did his last run at the title. He steamrolled everybody until he got to Tim Sylvia. And, I mean, I don't think he was prepared for that because he had a lot of personal issues. But he steamrolled everybody until he got to Tim Sylvia.
That's true. And you know, like I talked to him about on the show, you know, there's the guys out there he would like to fight on that upper level. You know, remember he talked about a possibility at 205 for King Mo if the Strikeforce contract would have allowed it back then. You know, also, you know, he mentioned Gabriel Gonzalez as somebody else he would like to fight. You know, and
he would murder Gabriel Gonzalez in MMA.
Abu Dhabi, he killed
him.
He's already beat him in Abu Dhabi.
He beat him in Abu Dhabi and he beat him in MMA.
Well, and, you know, and I think he would, too. He won't get that opportunity to take those fights repeatedly if he's stuck under that Zuffa, you know, Iron Claw contract. And that's why I give him mad props. I love him to death. You know, I follow him tightly on his career. And, you know, I'm honored that, you know, you've introduced us to him. And I think he is one of the best fighters out there, definitely. And I hope to see him, honestly, on World Series of Fighting on the next card.
That'd be nice. I think he's in that M1 contract for a minute, though.
Well, yeah, I know that according to the blogs and everything, he has two fights. This will give him one more fight after this. But
right.
I also have read that he, you know, is looking to fight for the title before he leaves there. So maybe the next fight will be his title. He'll win it and walk away or stay. We don't know.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you got a great group of buddies, man, that you get to, you know, roll with. Eddie, before we run out of time, happy birthday. I want to give some shout-outs to everybody, some sponsors, anywhere to find you, the gym, whatever.
You know, all my guys at Northwest Elite in Tacoma, I got a great group of guys. If you're listening, you're not doing anything this Saturday, come out to Auburn at Green River Community College and watch my boy go to town. But he's the main event. He's fighting for another title. If he wins, this will be his third one. He's on a roll, Alfonso Gonzalez. Really good buddy, really good guy. Give a big props to Clench, MMA Madhouse, and everybody else that's helped me get where I'm at today. And love you guys, man. Thanks for all the birthday wishes, and we'll keep talking.
Hey, and tell those ladies I said hi.
And then another thing, I can imagine Carl Snowmobile. I bet it's like a 1972 something.
like a leopard skin seat.
Ah, nice. All right, guys. Let's talk to you later.
Have a good night, brother.
All right,
hey,
man. Well,
later,
Gary. Later, Foz. If you're there, Carl, later, buddy.
Everybody, that was the great one-speed Eddie Blackburn, man. If you guys don't know about him, get about him. Google him. He's the man. We love this guy.
Man, that was a great surprise caller right there, huh, bro?
Oh, dude, you know what? That's 2 years in a row on his birthday. We've had him live on the show. Both times they were random phone calls. It's just weird.
Yeah, that's
badass. Both times it was open lines.
See, it was destiny to have open lines tonight, bro. I tried to tell you good things would happen with open lines.
Oh, definitely, dude. I love it, man. You know, I'm super pumped to talk to Mercedes next. I mean, wow. That's going to be super cool.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's going to be a sweet little segment. I mean, there's so much to talk to her about right now. She's a busy lady.
Yeah, between her fighters and her own career, I mean, you know, the gym, the growth of MMA in her area, the growth of her company. I mean, you know, we could spend 3 hours talking to this young lady.
Yeah, I don't know if Anthony would like that very much if we tied her up for 3 hours on the phone. But...
Oh, she's here.
Hi, guys.
How are you doing,
hey, Mercedes, how are you? Did you hear that comment?
No, he's not listening, don't worry.
Okay, good. Oh, good. Then you can stay on the phone and chat with us. He might be working out.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Just weighed in, got done with my second practice of the day. Feeling good. Going to get ready to go to my third practice and be done for the day.
How is your weight cut? I know you were about 6 pounds yesterday. Are you sitting right there today, too?
Yesterday, I think I was like 150. Today, I'm staying at 149.4. That's after morning practice. I ate a really good lunch and then got my night practice in, weighed in again, back down. So everything I had for lunch and everything is gone. So I'm doing really good. So that means I'm, you know, I'm real close. I'm what, around 4 pounds away from, and I'm weigh in next Tuesday.
Now, you sound a lot happier when you're going through a weight cut than some of your fighters do. Why is that?
Because I just ate a rice cake with peanut butter on it.
Oh.
I'm not going to lie. I gave myself a doggy treat before you guys called. Anthony probably, about an hour ago, it would have been a different story. But I gave myself a little feeder. I'm not dying right now. I feel really healthy. And that's, you know, a lot is attributed that to, you know, Anthony and then, you know, my coach, Joey Rivera, and Dr. Coutu from Five Round Fury. He really, you know, everything's real clean and you know, straightforward. I'm not dying. I'm not starving myself. I'm still running around doing everything on my agenda and training. So I didn't want to kill myself for this, but it's been really nice. I'm sure 145 will be different.
How excited are you to be stepping in the cage? I mean, I know that like last month or maybe the end of September, I can't remember the exact date on your last fight, but
October
11th. You didn't get that opportunity, but you're dialed in next week at Tough Enough. It's a really good card, and I think you're going to fit in really well on it.
I'm really excited. I was disappointed with the last, and that was October 11th, and that was for a cancer charity, and that's why I picked that fight up initially. You wouldn't even be talking to me right now if it weren't for that, because I did it for the kids. It was 2 weeks' notice, you know, and you know I didn't unfortunately get to fight on that event, which we got to participate and go, and it was a really great card. But you know, this to my benefit, I get a full camp. I am in better shape, but you know, obviously the last fight would have been at 155 because of the short notice. This one's at 145. But Tough Enough is a great promotion, and I like what they're doing with everything, and I'm really excited to fight with Courtney Casey on the same card. She's a AZ MMA girl, and she's one of our really good friends, and it's just a privilege to fight on the same card with her. I'm really excited about it.
Okay, so I have a confession. When I first saw you tweet out one time that you wanted to fight with Courtney Casey, I thought you literally wanted to fight her, not on the same card.
No, I saw that too, and I'm like, you know, I couldn't get down that way. I don't even know what I would look like. I'm sure 125 would be horrendous. I don't even know if that's even physically possible anymore. No, she's a really good friend of ours. She actually did fight one of my teammates, Brenna Larkin. Brenna Larkin just now signed with my company. Super excited about getting her rolling out. But she, you know, they've already fought. So, you know, I know it's far and few between in Arizona to get the girls to fight, and you probably have to fight a friend at some point. But, you know, we're just trying to grind out our work, too.
No, and you're doing a good job. And, you know, we're all stoked to be able to hear the results, and hopefully I'm going to find a way, whether it's legal or illegal, to watch your fight from up here in Oregon. I don't care if Tough Enough hears me say that. They shouldn't be too upset about it.
Let me know. Please let everybody else know how you're doing it, too, because there's a lot of people that want to watch, too.
I will definitely do that. Now, the fun part about you is that besides you, there's Brenna, who just signed on with Luda, and I'm not sure if she's training down there at Apex or not. But
yeah.
You've been shark tanking with all the dudes. How have you been feeling about that?
The other day was actually a rude awakening because, you know, getting ready for my shark tank, and we just now started introducing Freddie Lux into my tank. Usually it's just me and Burchek going at it. And, you know, now we've introduced Freddie Lux to my tank, which is a different look. You know, he shoots in a lot on me, and he has a whole different feel. But the other day I'm getting ready, and Anthony walks in and he's like, oh, by the way, Ed West has your first round. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And he's like, yeah, Ed West is going to be your first round in your shark tank. And I'm like, but I don't want to spar Ed West. And, well, I ended up having to spar Ed West for my first round, Burchek for my second, and Freddie Lux for my third, you know. And that was, you know, one of my mountains I climbed, and that was a really great experience. You know, these guys are amazing, and I mean, I'm indebted to all these boys. You know, they're like my brothers, and, you know, they're just, it's an amazing group of guys. I'm really appreciative of who I have to work with.
You definitely have a great team. I was getting ready to jump in. I was going to definitely say she has a great team. I got to ask you, talking to you last night, I mean, how bad were you going to smash him over that ahi tuna?
Oh, my. So he makes really good food. Granted, he cannot make hamburger helper for the kids to save his life. He ruins it every time. But if you make, if you have him make something from scratch, it's amazing. He makes me homemade chicken soup. So he got sashimi-grade ahi tuna and made me ahi poke. And then I'm, like, smashing it. It's amazing. Then he gets on the phone and calls our buddy Ryan, and he's like, hey, man, I just made some ahi poke and blah, blah, blah. And the greedy little tourist in me looked at him, and I said, are you freaking kidding me right now? And he's like, what? I'm like, who said I wanted to share? And, like, legitimately, we got into a legit argument over me being greedy over the rest of the tuna. Like, no joke. I ended up getting my way, but I felt like a greedy jerk, greedy, selfish jerk for wanting to hoard the rest. He goes, you can't even eat the rest of that portion right now because you're already at your portion. He goes, and it's not going to save for tomorrow. I'm like, I'll make sure it saves for tomorrow, and I will eat it tomorrow. And sure as anything, I saved it, and I ate it the next day, and it was damn good, too.
Now I know you're in a weight cut, and you're dialing down in on your weight. Now that I hear that story.
Oh, no, I almost killed him over chicken noodle soup the other day. Well, not chicken noodle, but he made a homemade chicken soup, and I got home from the sauna, and he ate the rest of it, him and Ryan, while I made them grilled cheese sandwiches. And not just regular grilled cheese, like full-on sourdough, manchego, sharp cheddar, like legit grilled cheese sandwiches. Watch them eat it while they ate my soup and cheese sandwiches I made. And I didn't say anything to him about the soup until the next day, and I'm like, I really wanted that soup because that was the only thing I could eat. And he's like, well, why didn't you say anything? I'm like, because I didn't want to look like a bitch. That's why.
Now, Mercedes, not only are you barreling down the road at your first amateur fight, but you also are the CEO of Ludo Elite. And for all those that are listening in right now, go over to LudoElite.com and check it out, man. You guys got a great website. How are you balancing that with your fight camp? And then I see you tweeting out pictures of all these half-dressed floozies that are bothering you at night at your other job.
Oh, my God. Okay, so let me first give Roger O'Brien from Apocalypse MMA a huge shout-out. He's the one that created my website. He's a huge supporter of women in MMA. He's, you know, got the petition for women in UFC. He did my website for me for free because I'm a female in MMA. And a huge shout-out to him. He did a great job. How I managed to juggle it all, I honestly, some days I don't know. I do get overwhelmed sometimes, but I just try to, like, in between practices, I'll work on the social media aspect or I'll work on getting everything onto the website. You know, I just brought in the two new girls. I got Shasta McNasty McMurray, and I got Brenna Larkin. You know, I just brought them two on board. And then I get to, luckily, my job is very understanding and only has me work twice a week. And I do want to punch myself in the face sometimes bartending, but, you know, it pays the bills. So, you know, that's that. But juggling the management, my phone, luckily I have an iPhone and I can pretty much do a lot, mostly everything from it as far as our Facebook and Twitters are concerned. But when it comes to updating the websites, I'm doing that in between practice. And then also in between getting our kids from school, doing that stuff, and, you know, every other thing on the book that we got going on here.
Now, do you like being a manager more than being a fighter? Or do you know about
really
the fighter part?
I really can't tell you the fighter part until after I walk out of the cage. I did a smoker last year, you know, for our gym wars. But that's nothing like what I'm experiencing right now. So I love the rush of the management. I love creating these relationships with our sponsors because we have some amazing sponsors. And the thing is I don't like getting a sponsorship and going, hey, thanks for the swag or thanks for the money, have a nice day. I like to continue with the relationship. I'm in constant contact with 99% of our sponsors, like on a daily basis, like, you know, hey man, on a like friendly, regular basis. And they've done some amazing stuff. Outlaw Fight Gear let Anthony design a pair of Arizona edition shorts and made them for him. You know, like, who does that? That was just, that's building a great relationship with a company. And it's kind of like my drug, you know, walking into a weigh-in as a female. And, I walked into Coalition of Combat. And they're like, you know, Arizona Boxing Commission's like, who are you checking in? And I named off five guys. I had five guys on the card. And everybody turned and looked at me like, what? And they're amazing guys, you know. I love these boys. They're like my family. It's not just a company, but we're all like a family, and that's what's important. Each guy has a job in the company. They're not just a fighter. They have a job. Anthony's, you know, analyzes everything. He knows about every fighter, not even just beyond his weight class, but just in different organizations and links, people you would never even think of, he has info on. You know, Freddie is a charmer. He can talk to sponsors like nobody's business. So, you know, everybody has a good role in the company. It's not just about, you know, big pond and a bunch of little fish. I want it to be a small pond with a bunch of big fish.
No, that's the great that's a great mantra to have. I mean, as far as going forward and allowing the fighters to you know, have a little bit of control in their own career kind of show, you know, helps keep them focused, I would think.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, excuse me.
How tough does that get, you know, with, you know, having not only to manage but to fight, you know? You ever find days where you're like, I gotta do one or the other? Do you ever have those days?
You know, some days I'm like, how am I getting through this day? I have X, Y, and Z to do, and how am I going to do it? And luckily, Anthony really does keep me level-headed. He's like, why are you stressing? Let's get this done. And he really does bring me back. He levels me out. Because I'll get in this frantic pace or, oh, my gosh, it's the end of the world. The sky is falling. And Anthony's like, all right, check yourself because getting stressed out isn't going to make things work. And it ends up working. At the end of the day, I've somehow accomplished my unimaginable to-do list and done it. And, you know, he does keep me at bay a lot. So I'm really appreciative of the fact that he is, you know, he is kind of my lever when I start getting like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to complete this day functionally.
Has it been easier for you to get ready for, is it Daniel Mack, I believe, correct? And
yeah.
With, you know, Anthony getting prepared for his fight at Jackson's, what, that's coming up in December 1st, I believe?
December 1st, he's
10 days after me. So we're going to be up in Vegas, come home, and then leave the next Thursday for his fight.
Has that made your camp easier this time, knowing that he's going through a camp at the same time?
You know what it has? I think more so for him because I'm going through the motions. And like before, when he would snap on me about stuff, I'd take it personally. I'd be like, well, what did I do? And I didn't do anything because I'm snapping on him for nothing. And I'm just realizing it's part of it. It's the mental, going through the mental, you know, ropes and everything. It's actually, I'm kind of glad that we got to go through this together because, you know, when there's days that he doesn't want to get out of bed and I look at him, I'm like, dude, let's go. You know, before, if I'm not going through camp, why am I getting out of bed? What do I care? But I need to get my training in. So I look at him and I'm like, come on, there's no sleeping in all day. Let's go. And the same thing with me. He'll get up and I feel guilty because he's getting his gym clothes on. And I'm like, all right, you know. And he said something, you know, getting to the gym is, you know, once you're there, that's it. Just get to the gym. And, you know, we've been pushing 2-3 days out. And it's been nice. You know, nobody's lagging over here.
How much do you think it helps your street cred as a manager by taking this fight?
To be honest with you, I don't really care about my street cred. Someone's always going to have something to say about you, whether it's positive or negative. I took the initial fight because it was a cancer event for children. We have our own kids here. I would hope that someone would ball up and do that for my children if that were the case. The reason why I was so hungry for this one is I went through the motions. I got, you know, a little bit of everything. Taking the fight on short notice, getting ready, getting out there, getting the sponsors, showing up, watching everybody weigh in. I was going to be the only girl fight on the card, watching everybody weigh in and not even getting to know what my weight was at, not even knowing if I had that 155 and being hungry. And I was pissed. I was pissed that I went through that and I didn't get to. So I told Barry Meyer from Tough Enough, I said, I don't know what your next card is, but I want on it. And I'm hungry. Find me a fight. And that's where it came from. It had nothing to do with how people would view me as a manager or just how people would view me in general. I wanted to do it for me. You know,
because the reason I ask is because, like, from a position that Skippy and I find ourselves a lot in is when I try, you know, I have a conversation with somebody about MMA and the first stupid-ass comment that they come up with is, well, you've never fought, man. You don't know what the fuck it's like. I'm like, and your point is what? I haven't fought in a cage. We can go out on the street and we can throw down. I can tell you what it's like to get punched in the face, you fucking idiot.
You know, I mean, it's funny that you say that because growing up I was a troublemaker. You know, I did hang out with the boys. I was, you know, the scrappy girl. I understand where it comes from that point of view of being the girl that got into fights. I fought mostly boys growing up. This is a whole different beast, though. I have to say it from there. It's completely different. The street fight versus the actual technical training fight and doing that is completely different for me. But, you know, I can understand where people would come from of maybe having a little bit more respect for me or understanding where I'm coming from because I have done it myself. But, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a great mentor, Jay Catton. You know, he, you know, former fighter. He managed. He does everything. He's a great, you know, he's just a great mentor to me.
Doesn't he have a fight this weekend? Yeah.
No. He hasn't fought since, you know, for a couple of months, and he fought in Japan last. But, no, I'm lucky to have the people I have in my life to guide me and help me to be where I'm at today, and I don't take for granted those things, ever.
Yeah, that could be just totally be, like, a thing that people only say to people in the media aspect of the game because they think, like, it's some kind of cool thing to say, you know, but... I definitely see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Now, are you more grappling based or striking based, Mercedes? I don't want you to give away any game plan, but
no, like, I'm not worried about that. If you let Anthony answer that, he would want me to say more grappling because of his wrestling background. You know, he really wants, and he's shown me some great things, you know. I'm still developing everything. I don't want to be a grappler or striker. And, you know, I'll take this from Ed West. I want to be a mixed martial artist. I don't want you to put me in one hole. I want you to go, you know what, she's really well-rounded. You don't know what's going to happen. She's good everywhere she goes. So, you know, I'm lucky to get to train with such amazing people. I get to train with George Roop, you know, Ed West, Anthony and Freddie, they're two completely different styles of wrestling and grappling, which is great, you know, and just start working with Brenna Larkin. So I'm just lucky I don't have bad habits right now, and everybody, I get to take the positive things and learn from their negatives too. So I'm very fortunate.
Now, you just touched on something. You talked about Brenda. How nice is that now to have a female to roll with and to spar with?
Two females now.
Well, yeah.
Well,
she's always been there. Oh,
Brenna
okay,
has always been at Apex. I've always kind of put her on a pedestal. She's kind of like my female idol. She's actually Ed West's fiance. So I've watched those two spar, and let me tell you, man, it's ugly. It's just like when me and Anthony spar, everybody's like, you guys beat the shit out of each other. That's what happens with Brenna and Ed. They beat the crap out of each other. So I've always had this, like, mental roadblock with Brenna, and I never initiate to try to go with her. You know, and after they made me Shark Tank with Ed, I was like, you know what, screw it. I guess I'm going to have to start going Brenna then. You know, but it's great because she understands the female body. She's a great wrestler. I'm really just excited to get her point of view of everything. Shasta is out of fight ready in Phoenix. So, and Shasta's really small. She's a 105, 110. So she would be perfect for my teammate, Nicole Rivera. That's Joey Rivera's wife. But as for me, size-wise, probably not the best person. You know, if I can get Courtney Casey down here and me, Brenna, and Courtney could, like, get our own little thing going, you guys would have a lot of problems on your hands.
We wouldn't. It sounds like Anthony and Ed and whoever else would have a lot of problems.
And it's nice because we all have fighter spouses or, you know, boyfriends or fiancés. Every single one of us is with a fighter. So, you know, we don't have somebody, you know, coming in from the outside not understanding what we're going through.
Yeah, that's got to be a good feeling to know that, you know what I mean? Because that's like, that's one of the things I like about you guys there at Apex and Luda is that, you know, and you touched on it before when you talk about the family. And it really, like, I really get that feeling. Like, as many times as I've talked to you and Anthony, I mean, I really do. I have that strong sense that that's how it is down there.
You know, and when they introduce, and I've pointed this out so many times, when in Arizona, when they introduce someone from Apex, a lot of the time you hear them say Apex family. You don't hear them say Inc. or, you know, whatever else they say. They out of the Apex family, blah, blah, blah. We are family. I've known the head coach, Joey Rivera. I've known him for 12 years now. He has helped me become the strong woman that I am today. He helped me through dark times when I wasn't the strongest woman. And I attribute, you know, my little girls adore him, and I'm glad that they have such a positive male role model in their life. And he breeds a family environment. We are family. Through thick, through thin, we might not always get along. We might not always agree. But at the end of the day, we're family. And that's really important. We're not a membership. We're not a dime a dozen. You know, we go to each other's birthdays. You know, we're involved with each other's children. It is a family environment for us.
How awesome was it when Joey got the call for Tough?
He's so damn secretive. I'm just going to tell you right now, this man is like living up to his contracts like nobody's business. He just gives you the look. When you ask him questions, people will ask him questions all day. And he just gives you the look. He's not telling you anything. So, you know, we're anxiously waiting, you know, every Friday night to watch what happens next. But I'm really excited because it's his time. He's put so much time and energy into us and just his heart and love. And he came back from the house, and I tell you, it was a whole new man, and he was inspired, and he was just so positive. And, you know, he came back with such a positivity. It inspired me, and it pushed me. And, you know, I just – you can't say enough positive things about him because he really does touch a lot of people. And I'm just, you know, I've got the best coach, hands down.
I wish that I would turn on an episode of that and watch him knock out that goofball with the pink mohawk.
He doesn't like the drama. He doesn't like to get involved in drama. He could just
end it for us all because we all hate the drama. And that little douche nozzle is like the drama fucking queen of Tough America right now.
You know, he's the thing is we have a large kids class at Apex, and he teaches them a lot about not getting involved into these confrontations and not putting, like, making an ass of yourself and being respectful. So if Joey turns around and makes an ass of himself, we have 30 plus kids at Apex that look at that as an example. And, you know, if he acts just the same way as that guy is, then what is he saying to our kids? And, you know, he does lead by a great example. He has a huge kids class, huge. And those kids are amazing. I mean, you would be so surprised to see how great these and how hard these kids train. And, you know, he has to be a great example. If he makes an ass of himself on the show, what are our kids going to think?
That's true. Well, he can pay one of the other guys to do it for me. But that guy gives me a headache. Tell him I'll cut him a check for it.
Right. Hey, it just shows rally. He's very patient. He's a very patient man.
Exactly. Now, am I going to see you in a cage again, or do you know the answer to that question yet?
Okay, so if it was up to Shasta McMurray, who is my Jedi Master getting me involved in fights, because that's who initially got me, she totally Jedi mind tricked me into taking these fights, by the way. Like, totally down low. But if you ask Anthony, he says, Shasta McNosey, get your nose out of it, and it can't be the Anthony Berchek show if Mercedes keeps on fighting. And what I say is, honestly, I need to see how this fight goes. If I fall in love, then really, just like any woman, you can't tell her when she falls in love with something that she can't do it anymore. Because, you know, I'm a Taurus, I'm stubborn bull. If I'm in love with it, I'm going to keep pursuing it. So I guess I'll let you know after my fight if Shasta McNasty wins or if Anthony Berchek wins that argument.
I'm sure I'll hear about it. I'm sure Anthony will be tweeting. Now, are you going to get to wear those awesome-ass Arizona Valley Tudo shorts you made, or you got your own design
yes.
going?
No, actually, myself and Courtney will unveil those shorts, and I'm super excited about that. Outlaw Fight Gear has, you know, done so much for the whole team itself. I mean, they just blow my mind. Contract Killer 2, they provided me with my walkout shirt. Super excited. It's a sick shirt. It's the black Oni shirt. I love their stuff. Contract Killer is always taking great care of us. Anthony is actually in their new fall catalog. So that was
fuck. Are you kidding me?
No.
You know that shit's
going to
go right to his fucking head.
Huh?
He's gonna be able to go right to his fucking head.
Oh, honey, that head can't get any bigger, dude. That head can't get any bigger.
He's gonna be harder to deal with. Now he's gonna be like, I'm a fighter and a model. La la la
Oh, you didn't see the Mentum eyewear shots we got at him? He looked pretty, and he was so happy with those shots. I'm like, yes, babe, you're pretty. It's okay. I'm telling you, he is so paranoid about that permanent black eye he has. I would swear if he could wear makeup and get away with it, he would.
Oh, man, I bet he's probably looking up for, like, the permanent tattoo right now so he can have it covered up.
No, he's not that vain. He's actually, you know, he was more flattered and kind of humbled when he saw the pictures. It was really neat that they did that for him. But, you know, he's really appreciative. As much as he comes off as, you know, mouthy little, you know, arrogant sometimes, he's actually very, you know, he's very humble and appreciative.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great. He's all of the above. And so it's nice. You know, some days I'll get the jerk, selfish kid, and the other days I get the, like, super loving, sweet one. So we're, you know, it's a nice little change each day.
Yeah, and that's the thing I love about all you guys, man, is that you guys are all so humble and respectful. And Anthony is like, and you and Freddie and all you guys down there are just so awesome that, you know, we can joke with you about these kind of things. And I can bust Anthony's balls, and he knows that I don't mean any of it seriously. But
No. I don't take offense. You know, people, they're going to come out. Someone tweeted the other day because some guy was giving Mayhem Miller, like shit. And Mayhem kind of gave him a little bit of shit back. I said, well, then don't get sad when he gives you shit back. And he goes, I went and checked out your page, and you looked really pretty until I saw the photo, and it was of me with my sweet sweat. And he did hashtag belly button tattoo gone wrong. I hate that tattoo. You're on board with me. It's cool. I'm not going to be offended that you like to take digs at people like that. And actually what came, you know, commented back very nicely to him. I said, I know, man, wishing that tattoo guy wouldn't have let me got one at 17. And he just backpedaled. He's like, you know what? By your response, I'm sorry. I was just giving you shit. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to take it personally. First of all, it's Twitter. You know, you can be a keyboard gangster all day long. It's cool. But I'm not
hey,
going to let something...
Hey, I hate to cut you off. Hold on one second. Carl, you want to pay some bills real quick? Don't go nowhere, young lady.
Found World. Found Brawl Base. Brawl Base. Get clinched. Razor Wear. Intimidation Clothing. Tank Crime. Global MMA Consulting. No Pain, Just Glory. Central Oregon Trike. Combat Sports Insurance. Vision Smoke Shop. 24 in LV. Draco Sports. Triumph Fitness. Big T's Nightclub. Revolver MMA.
Okay, sorry. We just had to pay some bills real quick.
No, it's good. It sounded. I kind of felt like we were watching Step Brothers Prestige Worldwide.
I thought
Boats and Hoes was about to come on. That was awesome.
You never know with us.
Hey, I'm sure we're all down to do the video with you. Let me know.
So
do the MMA Bad House Boats and Hoes video.
Hey, I am single, people. I am single. Always looking for some hoes.
Oh, that's funny, Lepak. You should add to that, not by choice.
Not by choice. No, actually, I am single by choice, bro. I don't know if I can handle not being this way.
It's so funny because, you know, Lepak talks, you know, big game, but when he's around my kids, he's like the uncle. There's like, he would make a good dad. He's good to my kids. I know that much.
Yeah,
he might beat other people's kids, but not mine.
Listen, you know the great thing about being an uncle? You can give them back at the end of the day.
Word. She hit it.
You can sugar them up. You can buy them anything you want, especially noise-making toys or really obnoxious ones. And then you can send them home at the end of the day and be like, peace out. Have a good night. You don't have to
like
deal
it
with the everyday shit.
I like that. Oh,
of course
well,
he makes
know,
a good dad. Small doses.
You know, before we wrap up with you, I want you to have a chance to give shout-outs. I know you got some great people and some sponsors and some information for not only fighters, but people who want to train to be able to find you. So why don't you take a run at it, young lady?
Okay, I want to give a big shout-out to Apex Mixed Martial Arts in Tucson, Arizona, and our head coach, Joey Rivera. You know, great place to go if you're in Tucson, from beginners, children, intermediate, you know, go check them out. There's a great facility, you know, a lot of great training partners. We got, you know, UFC, Bellator, just to name it off, we've got the vets in there. I want to thank our sponsors. You know, without our sponsors, I wouldn't be able to only work 2 days a week or not have to borrow Anthony's clothes. So thank you to Outlaw Fight Gear for taking very good care of the Ludilli family. Contract Killer Clothing, they have just been amazing. We have Fight Dentist to do our mouthpiece, you know, got to keep those teeth in place. Sweet Sweat, without them, this weight cut would have been a lot harder. Get it, it's the best stuff, hands down, beats Abilene all day long. Dr. Katoof with 5-Round Fury. My boy in Las Vegas, Mike from Exclusive Customs Las Vegas, for sponsoring me for this event. Xyphos Training and Tactical, he's one of my biggest sponsors, my biggest supporters for the company itself and me. Without Justin, I don't even know where I'd be right now. He's an amazing guy. I feel like I'm forgetting some people, and now I see why I yell at Anthony at the end of his. You guys have been really supportive, and I want to thank you guys, because you guys have truly been supportive of my team and, you know, Anthony and so on, and I'm just really... you guys have done a lot for us, and I really appreciate it.
Well, it's all about supporting local MMA. That's our motto.
Oh, wait, and big shout-out to Primate Fight Gear, who not only have great clothes, and it's the Primate, it's, you know, the mad gorilla clothes that we have, but they do the promo videos for Anthony. And Jorge, thank you so much, because without Jorge, you know, we wouldn't be in your face all the time.
Hey, do you got a Twitter you want to throw out too?
Yes, at Mercedes2269. That's the Luta. That's pretty much the Luta Twitter. And then you can find us on Facebook at Luta Elite MMA. And then our website is LutaEliteMMA.com. You'll see all the news, all the fighters, all the sponsors, everything that's coming up on our list.
Well, young lady, it's such an honor to finally get to talk to you live on the show and not just chat with you on Facebook. We love what
right.
you guys are doing down there. We think your gym is on a tear, and we hope more and more people come check you out.
Yeah, please. That would be great. Thanks a lot for everything, you guys.
No,
hey,
no doubt. And we'll be
night.
Sending you the best of energy for the next 9 days, Mercedes, because
yeah.
We'll be pulling for you to get that big dub and experience that hand raise.
Keep your eye out for those weight-cutting angry tweets coming up here. No, just kidding.
Well, no more doggy treats. Now that you've done MMAdhouse.com, you have to go doggy treat free.
Well, now I got to go hit my third session and hit the sauna, so there goes that doggy treat.
Well,
thanks again, guys. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Lepak, just a great group of people down there at Apex, and you know, I hope a lot of fighters there traveling through or live local or just want to, you know, cross train with another gym, you guys should hit them up. Check them out, man. They're legit. They're great people. All ages, all levels. Go down there and support them. They're trying to support local. Let's, you know, show them a little bit of love.
Yeah, dude, I think everybody that called in, man, is people that, you know, if you're listening to this show, you should be following One Speed, Eddie Blackburn. You should be following James Manning and Bruce Richards. You should definitely be following Hansel Aquino. I mean, you know, we're not bringing suckers on this show, man. We don't like supporting suckers, man. We support people that are true to the game and have the best of intentions.
Well, excuse me. Carl, do we got 5 minutes, brother?
No, let's hold off on that. Skip till next week.
Okay, we'll hold off till next week. And
that might need to be a rogue show for us to do.
Hey, dude, we can always pull one out Friday night.
All right, well, let's let Carl go. He's got a baby to go and check on here real quick. And, Skip, hit me up on the Skype here in a little bit, bro.
You got it, brother.
All right, buddy.
Eagle!
Carl,
Eagle!
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.